be in his house this morning. It's a sad occasion for the flesh, for Miss, for the service that took place Thursday. And we know our sister loved the Lord. And she's home with those that love the Lord too. Amen. And so, absent in the body, Paul said, present with the Lord. So, I know Brother Jimmy's heart is aching and he's going to miss her. But sometimes watching the, if there's one thing long-term illness does, it at least prepares you and for the best that you can be prepared. We want God to bless and minister to him in the loss of Miss Marcia. And she taught a lot of young'uns in Sunday school. We all know way more of them than I do, but I remember Mark and Melody would come through her classes, and when we first come here, which was I think that would have been 2009, 2008 maybe. No, it would have been 2010. So she was teaching them when they were just little bitty tots, and probably taught many of you and some of you grandchildren. God's going to bless her for reward for her labors. Amen. And God doesn't forget how to reward his children. And so we're glad of that. And we're praying God's going to hold Brother Jimmy up and minister to him and the children and each one. Amen. Good to be in this house with you. If you got your Bible, look with us into 2 Chronicles. I want to look at a text today. Maybe God would say something through his word. We want to keep in prayer. Hold Brother Brother Ricky's dad up in prayer. I understand he's in need of prayer, and we're dealing with dialysis and things going on, and we want to pray God would minister to him and bless him and his wife in this time of we never know what we have to endure, what we have to go through. Miss Linda, I know she'd covet your prayers. Brother well, his first name's skipping my mind. Somebody help me out. Brother Rodney. I was trying to say Brother Ricky, and I was leaving Rodney out. But Brother Rodney, we want to pray God to touch him and bless him and help him. He loves the Lord. Amen. And praying for them. All right, if you got your Bible, 2 Chronicles, where we began looking in his word today. We want to pray for our country. Let's don't forget to pray for our nation. Amen. We're much in need of prayer. If you didn't see it this week, you may not see it, because it goes to show you the law's not respected today, and the word of God's been put aside long ago in many of our government institutions, and now we have things going on that you know, even the worst would have never believed. But God's going to prevail. He's not out of business. He's not broke, not on welfare, and he ain't turned a blind eye to what's happening. But it is time for God's people to pray, God's people to appeal to him. Amen. Ask him. We're going to talk about this a little bit today, because this is a lost art. God wants us to ask him for the things we need. Amen. And so we talk about the events of the Bible that came to pass and how God moved on certain hearts and lives, and God opened doors and God parted the sea and God stopped the water flow. God done all of these things for his people because they asked him. So if you got your Bible, look with me, 2 Chronicles 14:1, it's where we're going to begin reading. We'll skip around a little bit for the sake of time, but see this here. In verse 1, so Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa his son reigned in his stead. And in his days the land was quiet for 10 years. Now keep in mind, there was war on every side for a lot of the time. But they've got a 10-year break right here. It's much like we see in here over in the Promised Land today, where it's somebody's always scrapping about something, ain't they? And so here, as they've, God's given 10 years of rest, Asa is a righteous king, and he's doing that's right, in the sight of God, and he is a descendant of King David. Now, we find that if you go back and study sometime, we're not going to talk about this much right now, but there was a division in the 12 tribes, and there was two tribes that split from the 10 tribes. And so here, David has been king over Jerusalem, and Asa now is a grandson, and he's doing that's right, and he took away the altars of the strange gods and break down the high places and the images and cut down the groves and commanded Judah. Watch this in verse 4. He's commanded Judah to seek the Lord their God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. Wouldn't that be a blessing today if our leadership commanded the people not to give more money, not to throw away things after program and program and program, but there was a command that come down and said, hey, all of you seek God and seek him now. I think God would bless leadership like that, don't you? I don't know when we're going to have it again, but maybe it's soon. And so here, we see where Asa's in the leadership role, and he's obeying God. Watch now, and he gets active over in the 5th verse. Why? Because he took away all the cities of Judah. Out of all the cities of Judah, he took the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. Why? Because he had a house cleaning. Sometimes revival, even a personal revival, begins with a house cleaning. And so we got to get some things out of our heart, out of our mind, and out of our dwellings. And this is what he's done. He's called for a house cleaning. And I want to tell you, it's the sure sign of real revival is when God moves people in such a way they begin to throw things out. Remember in Paul's day, you remember they brought their books and their curious arts and they built a big old bonfire and burned them. Why? Because they thought these things were not of God. And so they're around magicians and sorcery and all of this stuff. And so they brought them and they brought them to Paul. Well, Paul didn't want them. Bless God, but they was going to burn them and get them out of the way. And this is what God's doing here in Asa's life. And so Asa, we're going to see some things a little later here in a moment where he wasn't always right where he needed to be, but bless God, he's there now. And so he's commanded them to seek the Lord, took away the cities of Judah, of the high places and the images, and he built fenced cities in Judah for the land had rest. Watch now. There's a rest for the people of God. Don't you love that place? Over in Hebrews, there's a rest, church. I want to tell you, Miss Marcia's got a rest today. She's inherited. She's entered into that rest. Brother Ike's in that rest. And all the men of God and women of God that served him and sought him and walked after him, children, young people, doesn't matter how old they are, there's a rest for the people of God, and we don't have to be sorry for them. Why? Because they're with the Lord, absent in the body, present with the Lord. We need to get that, 2 Corinthians 5. It's a truth. I tell you, if you've lost someone here of late, you need to go to 2 Corinthians 5. Why? It's the encouraging chapter of where our loved ones go and where we find them. See this now. Look down a little bit. I want you to skip with me. Here, Asa, he's walking with God, and he's got some folks down to the south of him, the Ethiopians. That's modern-day Africa. Well, the Ethiopians they decided they want to come up and whoop up on Asa and take some of his stuff. And so here, this is where Asa recognizes the enemy. Now, Asa's got a mighty big army. He wasn't slack about his army. If you look, and we're not going to read all of these details, but he had 300,000, plus he had another 280,000, and so he feels he's mighty equipped to go to war. And so the arsenals look good, do they not? 580,000 chosen men. If you remember when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, God called those, and they had over 600,000 trained footmen. And so this is very comparable to the army that Asa's got. And so he's not sitting back on his laurels and waiting on somebody to do it. He's done it, but there's only one problem. He's about to face an army that's made up of 1 million people. Now, the word said there was 1,000,000. And so where I come from, that's 1 million. And so there's 1 million man army that's on the way, and a 580,000 man army on the side of Jerusalem, and somehow the numbers just don't match up. And so see it, there came out against him, verse number 9, then Zerah the Ethiopian, he's the boy dog, he's leading the way. And the word said he come with his host of 1,300 chariots and came unto Maresh. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephathah at Marasha. And Asa cried. Here it comes, church. You want to know where his power was? Listen, they've almost doubled up on him. I mean, it's not 2-1, but it's getting pretty close. And so this 1 million-man army's on the way. And Asa's got a mission. It's to take what God's gave him and to use it. And not only to use it, but to believe it, to believe God, to give him what he needs. And so here, he's cried unto the Lord his God. God, give us this gift. We need to learn how to cry out to God. Tell God, you said, preacher, my loved ones ain't getting right. They ain't getting saved. They're not interested in the Lord. We need to cry out to God. Tell God about it. Believe him for it. And so here, he's cried, and the word said that he said, Lord, watch his prayer right here in verse number 11. He said, Lord, he cried unto the Lord and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us. I pray you do something about that verse right there. Underline it, note it somehow. Why? Because the word said it here, that we have no power to help. We have no power. Help us, O God. And here, for we rest on thee. Where's your hope, church? David, the psalmist, talked about resting in God, like leaning upon the Lord, trusting God. Why? Because David knew every time he laid down his head, somebody had a thought to kill him. Somebody wanted to take his life. If it wasn't the Philistines, bless God, it was somebody in his own home. And so you know those kings and queens and dignitaries of that hour, they had to sleep with one eye open. Why? Because it's the mob activity that we see today. I tell you, that same mob was active, and they were always looking to take somebody out, snuff them out. And here Asa understands. He said, God, we have no help. Help us, O Lord our God. We rest on thee. And in thy name, we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. So the Lord, I like this next verse. This is I love the way the writer wrote it. He's prayed, he's leaned, he's asked God, he's trusted God. And then the next verse says this. So the Lord smote. How many of them was a preacher? 1 million folks. 1 million man army. On the way. Nobody can stop them but God. This is where we need to be, church. When we begin to tell God what's wrong, what's going on, we need to remind him he's the only one that can help us. From whence cometh my help? The psalmist said in the 23rd Psalm, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And so who are we going to trust? Who are you going to call? It was very popular back in the 80s. You know, Ghostbusters come out. All those teenagers was talking about who you going to call. I tell you who Ace is going to call. He ain't calling Ghostbusters, bless God. He's calling the God of the Bible, and he's trusting him and asking him. And then the word said this, that as he asked him, so the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled, and Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar, and the Ethiopians were overthrown. That's right, God did it. And the word said here, they were overthrown that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord, and they carried away very much spoil. Now watch this. Not only did they get the victory, but bless God, they got the spoils of all this camp. It was probably months hauling that stuff home. Think about it. I mean, it was huge. It was large. And the victor takes the spoils. That's so, isn't it? And so here they are. They're taking all of this stuff. I'm telling you, there's so much gold. You wonder where they got all the gold. Remember, there's a lot. I mean, the house of God that they built, Solomon built it, David wanted to build it, God wouldn't let him because he'd shed much blood. But it didn't stop David, the temple. He didn't stop David for laying up for the temple. He's piling it up. And lots of that gold that was there was what God gave them in the spoils of war. And this is no exception. Here we see it that Asa's taking the spoils. Lots of gold and silver. And so here we also find, if you keep reading a little bit, you're going to find that God used this pattern to make the children of Israel rich. And so he blessed them, and he blessed his house, and he fortified everything that he put his hand on. And he done it with those that attacked him. God moved and worked on the behalf of his children and brought them sweet victory. And here, watch now. The word said they smote the cattle and carried away the sheep and the camels, all of these things they done. The victory was great. And look at 15 verse 1. See this. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa. Now here's the prophet of God with a word. The victory's been won. But it's a self-test here for Asa. He went out to meet him. And look what he said in verse number 2. Skip down a little bit for the sake of time and see this. Where he said, the Lord is with you while you be with him. Oh, it wasn't guaranteed, was it? No, God can give. What do? We give our children blessings? And then we can reel them up. And this is what God's saying through Azariah the prophet. He said, the Lord's with you while you be with him. If you seek him, he will be found of you. That principle's not changed, church. If we seek God, he'll be found of us. If we forsake him, he'll forsake us. But if you forsake him, he'll forsake you. Now for a long season, Israel hath been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. You see what God's doing? He gave them the victory over the million-man army. He gave them that. He gave them the spoil. He gave them the goods, but he also gave them requirement. He's requiring of them. And he says, God will go with you as long as you go with him. But if you forsake me, I'll forsake you. Principle's not changed. We can't live outside of God's blessings and expect to have them. Can't expect it. It's not rational. And this is what Azariah is saying right here. Now for a long season, Israel's been without the true God. Skip down a little bit. But when they're in their trouble, they did turn unto the Lord, God of Israel, and sought him, and he was found of them. In Now, sometimes people say, how many times is God going to do that? That's what the natural man says. How many times is God going to forgive them? You know, some say, God may forgive, but he don't forget. Well, he doesn't forget. But he does cast our sins in the sea of God's forgetfulness. Yeah, that's in the book too. Never to be remembered anymore. And so here, Azariah's bringing a self-check back to the king, and this is what he wants to know. In those times, there was no peace to him that went out, to him that came in, but great vexation was upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Watch verse 7. Key verse right here. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. You know what I take courage in that? There's not one of God's young'uns can do anything for him and God not know it. You say, preacher, I sacrifice, I give, get no accolades, I don't get any applause, I don't get anything but God. Nothing gets by him. And God wanted Azariah to know it. Azariah wanted Asa to know it. And when Asa heard the words of the prophecy of Oded, the prophet, they took courage. He took courage. I'm reminded of that in Acts 28. Remember when God gave 28:15, I think you'll see this, where Paul has called those together and he said, fellas, you got to stay in the boat. The boat shipwrecked, I understand. It's all of these things is going on, but you got to stay in the boat. God said, stay in the boat. And this is what happened. And then in 28:15, the word said that they took courage. And what happened? God rescued them and spared them. And so here, there's courage. That's what he's doing. You know, sometimes you and I need to take courage. Amen. We maybe been disheartened. We've been hurt. We've been whatever the case. Things didn't go as planned, but we need to take courage. Be strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, and your work shall be rewarded. That's the word, bless God, that Azariah's got for him. And when Asa heard the words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols. Couldn't do things like we used to anymore because God's ministry. God's opened their heart. They renewed. If you look down, we're not going to read it all for the sake of time. If you look down, you'll see where they renewed the altars. Oh, that's right. They got the dust off of them. Shined them up a little bit. Got some polish out. Renewed the altars. Those altars, the altar is a place of burnt offering, but it's also a place of seeking the Lord, giving it to God, trusting him. The altars we talk about here are different than the altar of the temple. But bless God, it's where we bring it to the Lord and leave it there, the old song said. Bring your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. It's more than a song. So he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers. Look down into the end of verse number 9. And so the word said, when they saw that the Lord his God was with him, he saw God's there. God's working. Why? They can't defeat a million man army without God. They can't take the spoils. They can't do all of these things. I'm going to tell you, we may be the greatest power on the face of God's earth, as far as we know, as a nation. But without God, we can do nothing. And so listen, God will lull us all to sleep. God will put us in a deep sleep. Like he's done that before. Bless God, he can take out a half a million overnight. God's nothing, it's nothing too hard for him. And so we can just sweep through and do those things. We have to have him, walk with him. And they saw that the Lord his God was with him. Church, if there's one thing that'll win sinners to the Lord, it's letting people see that God's with you. Not that you're a superhero. We're not talking about that. but that he's with you. You know, saved people deal with adversity differently sometimes than unsaved people do. They don't handle situations sometimes. Why? Because they have no helper and they have no hope. And then they see someone that has hope, and it's contagious. They want it, and they seek it, desire it. See this, I want you to go over the last thing that God might would have us look at right here. If I can put my hand on it. The 16th chapter. Some events had taken place between Asa and Baasha, and we're not going to talk about all of those in chapter number 16, but this same King Asa. Let me tell you a little bit about him. Asa was a grandson of David. He ruled for 41 years. That's a pretty long time, isn't it? There's one king that ruled longer than I know of. I'm thinking about in particular, ruled 55 years. But Asa, 41 years, and Asa stood adversity, and he stood up to those, because remember, their brethren as the tribes of Israel, and they're wicked as sin, and so he's always stood his ground, whether he was dealing with Ahab or whoever he's dealing with. Asa was a righteous king, and they didn't do everything right. You said, "Preacher, I don't do everything right." I understand. I don't do everything right either. But my heart wants to. Doesn't yours? The problem is when your heart doesn't want to do everything right. Now, we know the heart's desperately wicked, and who can know it? And God said, "I, the Lord, search the heart." We're not excusing a free pass or passing out free passes for your heart. But sometimes people say, they say, "If I know my heart," well, you don't know your heart. It's desperately wicked. And who can know it? The writer said we can't know it. But we say that as a familiarity. If I know my heart, and most times that's in the best of use in that phrase we're talking about right here. But here, Jehoshaphat, different ones have come along. And I want you to see this. Before we get there, look into 16 in verse number 9. So Hananiah the prophet has come to see Asa. Asa's probably getting over in the evening years. And notice what he said here in verse number 7. "That time Hananiah the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God." See, he was leaning on the Lord back there when the million man march was going. Amen. Oh, he's crying out to God, but it ain't quite a big a battle. It's not quite as big as that battle was, so maybe I can rely on someone else. Church, there's never a good time to quit relying on the Lord. There's never a time to forsake him. There's never a time to lean under our own understanding, is it? And so here, at that time, the seers came to him and rebuked him, "Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God. Therefore is this host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand." Now, elsewise, they wouldn't have escaped. God had them bottled up. You do know all warfare, God governs in the affairs of men. When we talk about how this country was founded, if you looked at sheer numbers, we should have lost by a country mile. That's right. But God. And so the children of Israel, those 603,550 Jews that came out of Egypt, if it would have been up to sheer numbers, they should have all died there in the Red Sea. But God. And so same thing with the million man army. The numbers don't line up. It can't work. It physically can't happen. But God. God can do it. And so here, why did he rely on The other fellow, we don't know. Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of this king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubans a huge host? That's what God's saying through his prophet Hananiah. He said, don't forget, there's a million men. And why can't you remember that? But you rely on thine own hand, for the eyes of the Lord. This is one of my favorite passages of scripture. I pray you commit this to memory. I think it'll bless you. For the eyes of the Lord, verse 9, run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself what? Strong. For the eyes of the Lord. Listen, God said, I'm seeking. This is Hananiah's word to him. Yeah, the million man thing, that's gone. We've moved past that. Maybe he's in the later years of his life. And Hananiah says, son, you need to realize that the eyes of the Lord, you know what God's doing? He is seeking folks everywhere. The eyes of the Lord are seeking to and fro. What? To find those. To find those. To show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect. That doesn't mean sinless perfect. That means completely toward God. That you're not, oh no, you're not double dating. No. You're not courting the devil and trying to hang with God. And that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about those that are dedicated to God. Those that run to and fro, herein, whose heart is perfect toward him. God wants those that have God and God alone in their heart. And he said, the eyes of the Lord seek that. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro. Even this morning, God's not changed. This morning, whatever you need, whatever we ask, will God do it? Can God do it? Does God want to work on our behalf? He said he did. I'm sorry, ladies. Guys. He said he did. He said he's seeking to and fro to find someone to work on their behalf. You know what I want to do? I want to sign up. Don't you? I want to sign up. I want God working on my behalf. Somebody says, preacher, I've met a hotshot businessman. He's going to help me. That's good. That's all fine and good. I'm not knocking that kind of thing. I'm just saying, if God is sitting here telling me I can have his help, for the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro. Listen, this is bigger than we're talking about in this room. Throughout the whole earth. To show himself strong. You know what God wants to do? He wants to flex his spiritual muscle on your behalf. Let's don't forget about Asa. Just a real quick recap. He's the one that called out to God and said, God, there's a million folks who want to come up here and whoop us and kill us, every one. And God said, you don't worry about that. The battle's not yours. It's mine. God moved. How did the children of Israel get out of there with a million plus people and God spared them? God wanted to do it. Now let's put it in real life application. What do you need from the Lord that you're willing to ask him for? You're willing to go to him and spend time with him in prayer and talk about and ask him if he'll help you. You know, Jesus said this, Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given to you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be open to you. I want to tell you, that prophet we talked about, Hananiah, just gave that verse in verse number 9. That's good, but it ain't, listen, he ain't Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 7:7-8, if you don't put any other scripture in your heart, get those two. Matthew 7:7-8, to everyone that asketh, receive it. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. We bring our request to the Lord. And we leave them there. And so Hananiah, pardon me, Yes, Hananiah had the right word. And he said he runs throughout the whole earth. What's that mean? You said, preacher, he don't know my address. I just got a little shanty down in the back nobody knows about. God knows where you are. He knows where your heart is. He knows what you long for. He knows what you need. Now what will God not do? You know, if I was the king there, I would have done a dance. Why? Because God wants to work on my behalf. But Asa was not in the will of God there. Now, I hate to break this to you, but Hananiah, who brought that good word, was locked up by Asa. Do you see how Asa, in the front of his life, his spiritual walk, is God's took a million men out for him, and now here he is wanting to shut up the preacher. We wonder how things happen, how things transpire in people's lives. And as we stand together, I want to ask you this. What's changed? Let's stand, if you will. What's changed in your life? I'm using Asa for an example here. Here he is pleading on God, calling on God, begging God, needing God, working God, come by, do something for me today. And now here, a little while later, just a couple pages over, although it may have been a lot more time than we know about, here he is with Hananiah. And Hananiah said, son, the eyes of the Lord to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart's perfect toward him. But you know what was wrong? His heart wasn't perfect. That's why he locked him up. That's why he put him in the who's cow. That's why he put him in the pokey. And Hananiah got in prison for telling the truth. And here we are today. What's changed? I want to ask you. Heads bow, eyes closed. What's changed in your approach, in your reaction to God? Sometimes we find ourselves so far away from where we once were or where we thought to be. And God does not want us there. God loved working on Asa's behalf. He was proud to do it. Proud to do it. Church, God is proud to work on your behalf. He longs to. He wants to. But it's only of those of a clean heart. When Asa's heart was right with God, God heard him when he prayed. But here Asa is trying to shut the man of God up. And the man of God, this is what I love about this, Brother Donnie. He didn't come with words of ill tidings. No, he comes saying just one thing. God wants to work on your behalf. He's searching for somebody to work for. But at this point in time of Asa's life, he's not where he needs to be. Now, let's be fair. If we're all honest with ourselves, we'll all say, preacher, sometimes I don't feel like I'm where I need to be. We'll all do that if we're perfectly honest. But I want to ask you this one thing. What will you do about it? There's no better time to fix it. No better time to change it. If he would have fell down and said, Hananiah, I pray God forgive me for the wretchedness in my heart, would you do that right now? I promise you, Hannah and I would have got out and prayed with him. He's God's man. But in rebellion and in wickedness, he locked him up. We don't know the ill fate of what became of that, but we know one thing, that there's somebody left with a heart that was not right with God, and it wasn't Hannah and I. So what about you this morning? Is there anything God could do for you? Anywhere God could work? You said, preacher, I got a lot of departments in my heart. And I understand that. We got things that we sit over here and put over there. And we've got it placed sometimes like we feel like we want it. But I want to tell you, If you yield to God and give it to God, God come clean your heart and sanctify it and wash it with his rich red blood and change it. It's what he'd do. Give you a brand new life with him. A brand new start. You say, preacher, I'm saved. I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I know when I got saved. God will give you a brand new start. And that'll bless him. Brother Donahue.